Welcome to the Haverford College Athletics Podcast. My name is Warren Croxon, Assistant Sports Information Director. This podcast was created for fans of Haverford College Athletics to get to know some of the great student-athletes, coaches, and administrators in the athletic department. This episode of the podcast is with women's squash player Emily Berlin. Berlin is the captain of the team and talks about many things in this interview. The senior discusses her time at Haverford, how she got into the sport, and much more. Here's how the interview went. My first question for you, Emily, is how did you get involved in squash when you were younger?
Well, I actually got involved when I got to college. So before I came here, one of the women who was a year older than me, who was a freshman on the team at the time, posted in the accepted students' Facebook page saying that they needed more squash members for the women's squash team and if anyone would be interested in joining. And I played racquetball a couple of times, and I was really interested in getting to do a varsity sport and getting to be more active. So then I just kind of came here and tried it out, really liked it, and stayed on the team.
So you didn't even come here thinking about playing squash. You kind of just did it?
Yeah, it just kind of happened. And it's really surprising now looking back on it, because it's taken up a lot of my time here, because it's a lot of time commitment, but it also like kind of formed my friend groups and really directed a lot of the things, like what I do with my spare time, getting more into athletics in general. So now it's weird to think, but yeah, when I was applying here, I didn't even think about playing a varsity sport at all.
So, you're from Arizona, and when you're going through the whole high school process of looking at colleges, what are some of the things that kind of attracted you to this small liberal arts school in Haverford, Pennsylvania?
Yeah, well, the first thing that attracted me to Haverford was that it was not in Arizona, and that was my minimum requirement, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. And so it kind of became the thing. A lot of my family went to Haverford, actually, which is how I heard about it. And I was really unsure what I wanted to major in. My family was like, well, if you're not really sure, like, just apply to Haverford because you can major in anything and you can figure it out later. Mm-hmm. And then I visited it, and I really loved it, and I loved the small campus feel. So that kind of got me stuck here.
What family members have other?
So they're all my mom's side. So my mom went here. She's class of 1984, the first class of women. My uncle went here. He was class of 89. And my grandfather went here. He was class I think he was class of 58.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So how did you balance your life as a student-athlete?
Well, what I found most surprising is even though it's a lot more time, because you're putting a lot of hours into the sport, it actually helps you organize your time better, especially since, from 4 to 6, a lot of people are burnt out as is. You're not really doing anything. You're probably, like, taking a nap or, like, watching TV. So it was a great way to do something more productive with my time. And, working out, doing athletics has given me a lot of energy and helped me, work on, like, time management and stuff. So it actually, rather than having to balance being a student athlete, it kind of just helped me balance everything else, if that makes sense.
So last year you traveled abroad. So where did you go? What are some of the things that you did over there?
Yeah, so I went to Paris, and I pretty much had the most amazing 4 months of my life. I traveled all around Europe. I was very lucky to have that opportunity. I actually played squash while I was there. I got there's a court right next to Notre Dame. So it was really great. Every morning I would just like walk past Notre Dame and go to play squash. And there was an Amherst player there. Her and I played together a lot. But yeah, so it was mostly just traveling, learning French, learning how to be a real person in the real world, I guess.
Is there one particular moment at Haverford that stands out above the rest academically, whether it's an interaction with a teacher or a good grade on a test?
I'm very passionate about academics. Anyone who knows me knows I really love philosophy, and it's something I really care about, and that's my major. I think this year I had a really great experience where I got to present a paper I had written for a class my junior year. I got to present it to other philosophy majors, and I got to argue with them, and I ended up winning a prize for having the best paper and presentation amongst the students who were in the consortium, in the competition. And that, to me, was a really great moment because it taught me that not only have I learned how to be a philosopher, but I've also learned, how to present, how to argue, and kind of be a part of this community in a really cool way. So that's probably the most recent, coolest experience I've had with academics.
What about athletically? Has there been one, in your couple of years on the squash court that kind of stands out?
Yeah, I was actually just talking with my coach about this. I think it was my sophomore year. We go to Pioneer Valley up in Amherst for a squash competition. and I had an amazing weekend. And I remember I played Tufts, and I ended up losing my match, but I just remember playing like one of my best games I've ever played. And that whole weekend, all the games I played, it was just a lot of like really working hard and fighting hard. And even though I didn't win, leaving the court and feeling really satisfied that I had been a part of like something that was very competitive, especially since I didn't play squash before college, getting a chance to feel like I was really playing squash and really being competitive at it. That was an incredible experience. That weekend is still very, very etched in my mind.
Did you play any sports when you were in high school or when you were younger?
When I was young, I played volleyball for a couple of years, but by the time I got into high school, I was really into band. So the band took up a lot of time. I was in marching band, if that counts as a sport. I took online tennis my senior year.
Online
tennis, yeah. My school let me do tennis online for my PE credit.
So you weren't actually playing tennis.
I was playing tennis on my own, but it was mostly testing me on the rules and stuff. And,
gotcha.
Yeah, and I rode horses. I've been riding horses competitively since I was 7. But that's a very different kind of sport.
Well, let's get into that. That's interesting. So, riding horses competitively, what is that like? As someone who has no idea what that is like.
I think, so in some ways, it's an individual sport, right? And in a way it's individual, and in another way it's not, because you really are working with the horse, and I think people would be surprised to know how important that connection between rider and horse are, and how that really affects how you compete, how you do. And in some ways it's really similar to squash, because it's incredibly mental, because basically in squash you're like in this box and everyone's just standing outside watching you play, right? Mm-hmm. And in horseback riding it's the same thing. I did jumping, so it'd be, you would go through and do the course and you'd be by yourself and everyone would be watching and it's dead silent, and mm-hmm. any little error you make is amplified because everyone can see it.
Right.
So it's a lot of mental, a lot of hard work, a lot of really long hours, because you also have to maintain an animal. So,
right.
But it was really fun. I really enjoyed it.
So do you own horses? Like how did you get involved in that?
Well, when I was 7, my mom was like, "Oh, let's try horseback riding," and that was a huge mistake, because then that became our entire lives all through high school. So we own one horse. We own a ranch horse. And he's very sweet, and we really love him. But he's not. "Quote unquote," like competitive, right? And he's just cute. So I leased a lot of horses, which means that I would pay for the monthly board of a horse, but I wouldn't actually own him or her. So that's what I did all through high school. I pretty much, depending on where I was at, how I was doing, I would ride different horses and get experience, you know, competing on a lot of different kinds of animals.
So when you go home, is the first thing you want to get back on the horse? Like, what? So do you not do that anymore? Or?
I still do. Not as much as I definitely, my first couple of years back, I was very burnt. I mean, doing horseback riding really, and it was really my life, I think, until I was 18. I was a little burnt out the first couple of years going back, and I was okay, maybe just like going out and seeing my horse, and maybe not even riding. But now I'm getting back into like starting to ride a lot more competitively, or wanting to at least. And last semester I did the Bi-Co equestrian team here. I'm not doing it currently, but I plan on doing it again next semester. So I'm easing back into it becoming everything again. It's a lot of time. So.
Have you done any kind of internships or things like that since you've been here?
Yeah, I've done a ton. I did my freshman summer. I did internship at a bioethics institute, the Hastings Center, and I was a research assistant helping out projects specifically talking about what was going on in Vermont, because they were changing their healthcare system, and doing a little bit of French research too, the French healthcare system. My sophomore year, I worked for Professor Danielle Macbeth doing research on displaying higher level mathematics. That was really cool. That involved a lot of my coursework and stuff, and Haverford was really generous in my stipend and stuff, and I got to live on campus and get to try out being a philosopher as a career. And then last summer I was actually a sales and marketing intern at a small company that sells women's shoe care products in New York City, and that was a very different experience. It was my first kind of, you know, being in like the business world. It was really fun. I really enjoyed it. The company I worked for was amazing and very nice.
And what are some of your plans after school?
So as of now, my plan is to be a buyer for a retail company. So hopefully I'm actually waiting. I've been checking my email all day, waiting to get an email back about whether or not I got a job. So, and that basically means I'll be the person in charge of kind of designing the lines, deciding how much product we're putting out through our different channels. So I hope that's what I end up doing.
Yeah. So this part of the interview is some quick rapid fire questions. Maybe the first thing that pops into your head.
Okay. This is hard. Okay, let me try.
Favorite book?
Grapes of Wrath.
Favorite vacation spot?
Norway.
Favorite food?
Churros.
Favorite superhero cartoon growing up?
Sailor Moon.
What is the most played song in your iTunes playlist?
Flashlight by the Front Bottoms.
Okay. So these questions are a little bit more deep thinking. So
okay.
Which teammate would you most want to be stuck on a desert island with?
Oh, my co-captain Bethany.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's so nice. I could just yell at her and she'd be such a good teammate, a good sport about it. You know, I could be like, I can't believe you're on this island. She'd be so chill. No, she'd be perfect.
Okay. I'm not sure she would appreciate you yelling at her.
No, she'd handle it well, so.
Moving along. If you could have three things with you on a deserted island, what would they be?
Netflix. Oh,
no. There's no electricity.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Okay.
No Wi-Fi.
Okay. Then I'd want, a pen, a pad of paper, and I guess something to read. I guess a book. Probably some philosophy book. Maybe I'd get some homework done then. Maybe that's what I would do. I only have three things.
Okay. What is the number one thing on your bucket list?
Oh, I really want to go to Tokyo.
Why Tokyo?
I have a lot of friends who've gone there, and they're just like, it's an incredible city. Everyone can find something to do there. And I really love traveling. I think it's an incredible, inspirational experience. So,
if you could time travel, would you go to the past or future?
Ooh. I'd go to the past.
Is there a particular area of the past that you would want to go to? A particular time in history?
I guess I really want to go... Ooh, I would really like to meet Anne Boleyn. I want to know more about her, right? She's such a mystery. So that would be, that was like 17th century England. I think that'd be a fun time. Probably not that fun, but.
If you had a golden ticket and go to any concert past or present, who would the band be?
Oh, ooh, okay. Easy. 2012, I believe, or maybe it was 2000. It was 2011, and it was Panic at the Disco and Fun's joint concert tour. And the reason I want to go to that is they performed one of my favorite songs of all time that they do together, and they're never going to perform it again. And I missed that concert because I forgot to bring my ticket with me to the concert so I can get in. I know. So that's a concert I for sure I'd want to go back and see.
We're short on time, and we need to get into this. First off, how do you forget the most important thing for the concert? It's like they couldn't print out a ticket for you. Like
it was a terrible experience. It was just I'd forgotten. I had just gotten back from summer camp. I literally had just gone back. I was already late to the concert, and they were just like, "No ticket. You can't get in." I'm like, "My information doesn't work," and they're like, "Nope." It was literally they had no budge room. I'm just so tired. So I was just, and it was like a 40-minute drive from my house. And I was like, "There's no way I can go back and get the ticket and come back." And it was such a bust. It was a huge bummer. Biggest letdown of my life, by far, definitely.
What message would you put into a fortune cookie?
Oh, I just got actually a really good message the other day from fortune cookie, so I'll put that one in. It's, the cost of something is what you give up to obtain it, which is, to me, very obvious. I'm like, you know, maybe someone would like that.
If you could bring back one thing from your childhood, what would it be?
Perhaps I would bring back, gosh, I love all television. You know, Avatar The Last Airbender, I would really like to bring that show back. That was a great show when I was a kid. You know, maybe get some more seasons, get some more backstory. I think that's what I would choose.
Okay. Would you rather be a hero or villain in the next great superhero movie?
You know, I think I'd rather be a villain. I think villains' characters are much more, thought out. They're much more thorough. And a lot of times heroes are just, like, they're good people, right? They have, like, good moral systems. But they're not exactly deep, like, characters. They're often very times very shallow and kind of dim-witted. I think I'd rather be the villain.
Okay. What villain would you most want to be associated with? Like, if you had to be one villain, who would you be?
I'd be one villain. Oh, you know what? I actually thought of Magneto from X-Men. I think Magneto's background story is something a lot of people can really relate to, kind of understand, and he might be like quote-unquote a bad guy, but he does have kind of he is trying to fight for a group of underprivileged people. Mm-hmm. You know, so maybe I'd want to be him.
Okay. You're going to a dinner at the table. You can invite three people past and present. Who would they be and why?
Oh, three people past and present to this dinner. Okay. I want to invite Frege, Gottlob Frege. He's a philosopher. I want to invite Quine, another philosopher, and Putnam, another philosopher, because I'm writing my thesis and it really involves all of them. And not only that, but they're just brilliant people, and I'd love to kind of... Oh, wait, actually, I want to kick one of them out. I want to bring Aristotle, right? Because Aristotle, he wrote so much, and we lost access to all of that. So instead of Quine, I'm going to bring Aristotle. Yeah, okay. So Putnam, Frege, Aristotle.
So you're bringing these people just to help you with your thesis?
Well, yeah, in part, obviously. But no, I think they're just brilliant. They're just these brilliant people who are... I have so many questions for them based off of, like, what I've learned, and... I think they would really be enlightening to talk to.
It's okay. You could say.
Okay, and my thesis, yeah.
All right, and my final question is, we're short on time. You're walking through the dining center one day and accidentally bump into the high school version of yourself checking out the school for the first time. What advice did you give to yourself?
Stop being such a terrible person. I was terrible. Whoa. In high school. I was not a nice person. I did mean things to people. That's why I love Haverford so much, is that, I mean, as soon as I got accepted, I really did start really reflecting on a lot of things the school talks about community, and, you know, and also I was put in a lot of really good conversations as a freshman that really made me think about a lot of the things I did. So I would go up to my high school self and be like, stop doing what you're doing, and hopefully she would, and then she would come here even more prepared, so.
Thanks to Emily for coming onto the podcast. Please subscribe, download, listen, and rate the podcast on iTunes or Podomatic. Stay tuned for more athletes coming soon. Thanks for listening, and go Fords!